If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
All right, welcome back into The Drive on 96.5thefan.com. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you. So I want to play a couple of pieces of audio, and I want to read something to you. So there was a podcast that Joe Burrow did. I'm pretty sure it was Part of My Take. And he said something in this podcast that not a lot of people picked up on. When you listen to this, I want you to keep in mind how old Joe Burrow is, because I think that is very important for the context of what he had to say. He is 27 years old, and listen to how he talks about the end of his career. Listen to this.
It's definitely something I've thought about, yeah. You know, whenever the injuries start to stack up, it's your football mortality kind of comes into the back of your mind. So that's definitely something that I've thought about and something that I've had to fight through. That's every injury that happens. You know, they stack, and you know, you continue to think about how you can get better from those and how you can come back an improved player when maybe you're not getting the reps that you had because of your injury. So it's always a challenge. It always is, but you know, I'm built for it. Our team is built for it, and the people that I have surrounded myself with have been through it with me as well. So I'm excited about the season. I'm excited about what we're going to do, and I'm excited about all the guys we have in the locker room.
I don't know if you can be the best version of yourself as a football player if those thoughts are in the back of your mind at his age. I understand it if you're Travis Kelce, you're 34 years old. I get it if you're Aaron Rodgers, you're 40. If you're 27 years old and you're Joe Burrow, this is my athletic peak. This is when I should be winning championships. I should be racking up MVPs. I should be making the case of being the best quarterback in the National Football League. For him to be having the thoughts about the end of his career and it crossing his mind at this stage in his career, I was surprised that that didn't get more of a conversation through the offseason. So I typed in earlier today, Joe Burrow injury history. The first thing that popped up, it was from their website, the Cincinnati Inquirer. Let's go through Joe Burrow's history of injuries, which kind of explains why he thinks this way. So, Rob, he fractured his wrist in 2017. He had a chest rib fracture in 2020. He tore his ACL, MCL, PCL, and had a meniscus tear in 2020. So, in January of 2020, he had a rib fracture. In November, he tears his ACL. In 2021, he dislocates his finger. In 2022, he has a knee strain. He then has another knee strain in the Super Bowl. He then strains his leg calf. You remember, you and I were on the air when that happened, and we were unsure if Burrow was going to play in the season because he hurt his lower leg. We were wondering if he popped his Achilles. He ended up being healthy, but he was clearly bothered with that injury the entire first part of last season. And then the injury that put him on the shelf for the remainder of the regular season last year, he tore a ligament in his wrist in week 11 last year. That's a lot of injuries and toll on your body. That's a lot of surgeries that you've had. That's a lot of recovery and rehab that you have gone through. It makes sense why you are having this conversation. You've been beat up playing football. And we have all noticed that Cincinnati has a deficient offensive line for 3 years now. It's a long time since the Chiefs and Bengals first played an AFC game, or AFC championship game. And we realized that offensive line was bad then. Their offensive line on Sunday didn't look any better than the offensive lines that we saw them go up against with Kansas City And they have spent a lot of resources going to get this player, picking up Orlando Brown and trying to do this. They still look like a team that is unable to protect its quarterback. So fast forward to present day. So he tore his some ligaments in his wrist. They have a video of Joe Burrow on the sideline, and he is like moving his wrist and flexing it, like clearly trying to keep it moving and keep it fresh. Someone asked him about it in his press conference. Here's what he said.
Yeah, I'm doing that all the time. You know, when you come back from injury, you're always trying to keep the joint loose. That's part of ligament injuries. If you don't move it, you're going to lose it. So I'm always moving it around, keeping it loose, keeping my mobility the way that it's supposed to be. So, you know, it's going to continue to happen. I do it at home. I do it here. I do it all the time.
That doesn't sound good. I would not be entirely encouraged if I was a fan of the Cincinnati Bengals with A, the amount of injuries that have started to pile up on Joe Burrow. He is already talking about football mortality and the end at 27 years old. He's doing wrist hand exercises like he has carpal tunnel on the sideline. They showed a video of him trying to pick up a water bottle, and he didn't look like he picked it up very easily. I think it is sort of known that Burrow is playing through a lot of things. And you could maybe do that if you had an offensive line that was going to protect you and keep you upright. That is not the team that they currently have. So I think it is something to track with them about what this looks like for Burrow. We have these conversations about quarterbacks and where you draft a guy and you think you got him for the next 10 years and you got this franchise guy. Burrow doesn't seem like somebody that's playing into his late 30s to me. I don't think Burrow's playing when he's Aaron Rodgers' age. He seems to me like somebody that retires at 32, 33 years old. I've made a lot of money. I can do a lot of other things. I've taken a lot of punishment and pain in my body over the course of my NFL and college football career. I'm stepping away. I'm walking away. I was a little bit surprised that this offseason, his comments more about the 18-game schedule were the ones that caught on, and not what he had to say about his health, his body, and his future plan this game.
Combining the two comments, though, Carrington, it's clear, at the very least, his injuries are affecting him in a way mentally. Like, I think too often as sports fans, we just think, oh, that guy had surgery. He's cured. He's fixed. Like, Adrian Peterson that came back, what, 6 months later and was still dominant is an outlier. There is residual effects to having a surgery. We just don't think about football players as people. We think about them as commodities more often than not. But that injury history combined with that football mortality comment and the amount of wrist flexing he's doing, which led to water bottle gate or whatever we're calling it, all those things show that his health is on his mind. And I think the way they've built their offense shows his health is on the Bengals' mind. It's a lot of quick hitters. The Bengals' offense of Burrow drops back and they go deep to Chase. We haven't seen that offense in a while. We haven't seen that offense since the Super Bowl. It's a lot of get the ball to people in space. Like, Burrow is neither going to need to overcome the mental hurdle of the injuries weighing on his mind, or he is going to have to be the guy that he is now, which a little bit of dink and dunk and flex your wrist. And I don't know the Bengals are a Super Bowl team if that's the version of Joe Burrow you are playing every single Sunday.
What if I told you that Joe Burrow in his first 4 years in the NFL played fewer games than Andrew Luck did?
I would believe you. He missed most of a whole season.
Andrew Luck missed a lot of time early on in his career, too. Now, Andrew Luck missed an entire season at one point. So Andrew Luck just did not play the 2017 season. He had the shoulder injury. He only played one more year after that. He was actually kind of good that year. And then just we all know how he retired. I mean, the first 4 years of his career, Andrew Luck started 55 games. In the first 4 years for Joe Burrow, he started in 52 games. Like, the parallel between these two, it's almost eerie, the parallel. Now, I think that Burrow's been better than what Andrew Luck was in his first 4 years. Like, if you go through the numbers, completion percentage is better, thrown far fewer interceptions than we saw, better yards per attempt. Like, Burrow has been better than what Andrew Luck was his first 4 years. But, man, we eventually saw that just the physicality of the game, it just took a toll on that player. And eventually, Andrew Luck just woke up and said, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm done. Now, his injury history at this point just got worse and worse. And you can see, and I've heard podcasts and I've listened to Andrew Luck, like, it makes sense to me now. Andrew Luck, when he describes what he was going through in his body and just, I made a lot of money. I just don't want to do this anymore. I'm obviously not suggesting that's where we are with Joe Burrow. We will see what happens. But, I mean, over the course of the last couple of years, it has just been little injury here, little injury here. Man, those surgeries add up. Those hits add up. That punishment, the toll on your body, the constant strain of being in rehab and trying to get your body back to where it needs to be, that stuff takes a toll. I'm not sure if Burrow ever is the downfield passer that he was. I mean, in 2021, Burrow's yards per attempt was at 8.9. It was 6.3 last year. That is a drastically different quarterback. You know, I'm big on a couple of stats. I'm big on completion percentage. I'm big at yards per attempt. His completion percentage hasn't really dipped that much. To go from 8.9 yards per attempt to 6.3, and it was 5.7 on Sunday, suggests that you are a drastically different quarterback. Cincinnati obviously is not a title contending team. They're not a team that's a legitimate threat with the version of Joe Burrow that you've gotten over the course of the last year and a half. You need to go back to getting that 2021 version back on the field if you want to get back to that point. Coming up on the other side, you know what, Rob? I'm feeling a circle of trust here. I want to tell you some developments that I've had and my feelings toward the Kansas City Chiefs. And there's only one way we can do it on this show. I'll explain. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, before we get to the circle of trust, I want to update you guys on the injury report because I think this is in line with what we were just talking about regarding Joe Burrow. The Chiefs come into this game as relatively healthy as you can expect any NFL team. The only player on the Chiefs who didn't practice today was Hollywood Brown. I think we all knew that Hollywood Brown was not going to practice today. I don't think Hollywood Brown is going to play at least until next week. Now, we usually see how Andy does it. You got to practice for a week and then you'll play. So I think from the moment Hollywood steps on the field, he will then play the following week. So he probably won't even play on Sunday Night Football, but obviously we will see what happens. Everybody else was a full participant today in practice. For Cincinnati, T. Higgins, a DMP. Their starting tight end, also a DMP in this one. Chris Jenkins, one of their most important defensive tackles, a DMP. One of their offensive tackles, a limited participant. Their middle linebacker, a did not practice. My stance on the Chiefs is going to be real simple this year. If the Chiefs are fully healthy, I am picking them to beat every single team in the National Football League, and it does not matter to me where that game is. You guys know that I like Cincinnati, but Cincinnati comes into this game very, very banged up, and I've been telling you guys all week that a disjointed August creates a disjointed September. I find it really hard to pick Cincinnati in this game. Like, I don't really know how you can pick Cincinnati to win this game. Chiefs are at home. Chiefs have had more rest in this game. Chiefs have been the better of these two teams. They're the healthier of these two teams. This is usually when Andy kind of cooks some stuff up. And if there is a team that I know the Chiefs aren't going to sleepwalk through, it's the team that they have. Now, if they were playing the Colts, all right, I'd be a little worried about this game. There's some teams I'd be a little bit worried about in this spot. Hey, Chiefs just come into it. Hey, they were at the U.S. Open. They're doing all this other stuff. Hey, maybe the Chiefs just come in and they give you a C-plus effort and this game is closer at the end than it needs to be. I know the Chiefs are going to lock in against Cincinnati, and they're doing so fully healthy, playing with momentum. That's not what Cincinnati is right now. We're talking about a wounded team. Cincinnati wins this game to me off desperation. We need this game. We gotta win this game. Kansas City obviously doesn't need this game, but if there's a team that I think the Chiefs will enjoy keeping down, it's the team that's coming to Arrowhead on Sunday afternoon.
I agree with that, but I don't want to make it sound like I'm disagreeing with you. I agree. If the Chiefs are fully healthy every week, they are probably the best team in the NFL, but isn't that statement kind of a nothing burger? Because we all know no team remains in perfect health. It's just a matter of how bad your injury report looks. Like, and for who? The Bengals right now, it looks real bad because Higgins is hurt and Jamar Chase has contractitis. I don't know if that was listed on there, but he has a bad case of my wallet isn't full. Like, he's battling that all summer. Like, those injury reports are more devastating. Last year in the playoffs, when the Chiefs played the Bills, they were playing, because there's two starting linebackers were out, they were playing against a practice squad linebacker. That's a more devastating injury report than one wide receiver is out. So I agree with you. If the Chiefs are healthy, they're very, very difficult, if not impossible, to beat. But I'd also tell you, they're not going to be healthy all year. It just, the Ravens didn't walk out of Arrowhead unscathed. You don't walk out of any game unscathed.
No, 100%. I agree with you. That might not be my stance on week 9. An injury could happen. But heading into week 2, back-to-back home games, extended time for rest, a motivated Chiefs team up against their biggest rival, in my opinion, this isn't the letdown spot to me. The letdown spot to me is next week against Atlanta. If Atlanta starts 0-2 and they got a home game against Kansas City to kind of save their season, so to speak, we can have that conversation about trap game and going into their home and how the crowd, we can have that conversation. We know Andy's track record with extra time to prepare, and you gave them extra time to prepare against a beat-up Cincinnati team. I feel really good about the Chiefs heading into this matchup. I do want to get to the circle of trust, but I got distracted again, but this is a good distraction. So Bill Barnwell, a guy that we both really like and trust his analysis. So he did his – right now he ranks every quarterback in the league. He has Joe Burrow at number 9 right now. So here's his top 10. Mahomes, Allen, Jackson, C.J. Stroud, Brock Purdy, Herbert, Hurts, Dak Prescott, Joe Burrow, and Jordan Love. Now, obviously, Jordan Love, he's going to move down just because of the injury with where we currently sit right now. Do you think it is fair or is an overreaction to not have Joe Burrow right now in your top 5? I will say, and I say this as someone who loves Joe Burrow, it has been a while since Burrow has played like a top 5 quarterback. He was not a top 5 quarterback last year. He played in 10 games. So it's not like he only played one game like Aaron Rodgers and only played one snap. In 2023, he was not a top 5 quarterback in the league, and the quarterback that I saw play for Cincinnati on Sunday is certainly not a top 5 quarterback in the league. Do you think it's fair to penalize Burrow and move him down your list because of it?
Yes. He was bad on Sunday. Like, I'm guessing these Bill Barnwell rankings are not just, you know, he's doing it via vibes. Like, it's based on a week to week what he's seeing. And if our sample size for this season is Joe Burrow missed every game down the stretch with a wrist injury, and his first game back, he looked bad, I don't mind him being at 9. Frankly, I think him being at 9 is a lot of pedigree, a lot of name, a lot of what he has done. Because if you were to, in a vacuum, just say, look at these week 1 stats, you would not say, wow, that's a top 10 quarterback. That's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. I think his name's actually carrying a lot of weight. So I don't think it's an overreaction. I would, as a football fan, I want to see Joe Burrow get back to 2021 status. But if you're telling me this version of Joe Burrow, no, he's not top 10.
Text line 913-586-7965. Let me know what you guys think. We're starting to transition a little bit from week 1 against the Ravens to week 2 against the Cincinnati Bengals. You're listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. All right, Rob, I am potentially having a change of heart. Let me explain. Before we do that, let me tell you guys that if you've been listening to this show, you know that we love movies. And one movie that we quote a lot is Meet the Parents. And one of the quotes we have is The Circle of Trust.
With the knowledge you've been given, you are now on the inside of what I like to call the Burns family circle of trust.
See, if I can't trust you, Greg, then I have no choice but to put you right back outside the circle. And once you're out, you're out. There's no coming back.
Hmm. Well, I would definitely like to stay inside the circle.
I am ready to officially... Well, one Chiefs player I'm 100% putting in, and I'm still a little tentative about putting this other player inside my circle of trust, but I'm willing to hear you out, and I'm willing to make a case for why I would put this player in the circle of trust. I'm ready to put Samaje Perine in the circle of trust. I'm ready to put him in the circle of trust.
Here we go.
I like Perine. Now, I think we knew the role that he was going to have on this team. I think we knew that he was going to be the Jerick McKinnon type, and then I got a chance to see how they used him in game one. It was like, oh, okay, yeah, I see how this works. Perine has 400 yards receiving this year. He has 6 touchdowns. You cash him in on a first touchdown bet, and he wins you $130. We've seen this Samaje Perine story before. So I know he just got here, but I saw enough in week one that I'm ready to go ahead and put him on the list. I thought he had a chance to score a touchdown. I thought Mahomes missed him, that little pass out of the backfield. I just don't think it was a great ball from Mahomes for Perine to kind of catch and make a move. So I'm officially willing to put Samaje Perine into the circle of trust. Now, I know you don't like running backs, but the way you clap makes me think that you have also officially put him inside your circle of trust. You have running backs inside the circle of trust. I didn't think you did that kind of thing. I'm ready to go ahead. I was already considering putting him in there, but I'm now ready to put him in that circle.
I'm fine with him in that circle. The reason I was clapping and applauding is because it was 14 days ago you were on this radio program telling me about, watch out for Carson Steele. Here comes Carson Steele.
He's still in there.
He's got gators and he's got long hair. Carson Steele.
I still like him.
I think he's a good running back, too. And you told me ad nauseum, Perine's not running back, too. We know what Perine is. Perine's this. Perine's that. And I said, Carrington, Perine's going to be a bigger role in this offense. Mitch Holtis, you can play the cut. I pulled it. He said Perine's going to be a big deal in this offense. I'm happy that you've come around, because if Perine is part of your circle of trust and Mitch Holtis is telling you he's going to be an important part of this offense that raises the floor, I don't think there's a role for Carson Steele other than special team guy and 5 snaps a game guy, which is most important, Rob was right.
Rob, no.
Do you know how many? How am I wrong?
Do you know how many carries Perine got?
None.
Zero. Carson Steele got carries. He's still running back, too. They found Jerick McKinnon for cheap. That's what they did. They found him. I saw it. It worked. I'm in. I have not changed my stance on Carson Steele. I still think he's running back, too, and I still think if you give him carries, they didn't run the ball effectively, period, in that game. Isaiah Pacheco didn't run for 85 yards in the game. They stopped Isaiah Pacheco. The Chiefs didn't run the ball super effectively in this game. I'm not coming away with any takeaways about that, but they threw it to Perine twice. He caught one of them. He had a chance for another big play in the pass game. He dropped it. I think he's going to be involved in the pass game. I'm putting Samaje Perine in my circle of trust. I'll put Jalen Watson in there for now.
Why are you not excited about Jalen Watson being there? What is it about Jalen Watson that has you hesitant to make him your circle of trust cornerback number 2? Did you see the play against Zay Flowers?
No, I saw it.
Did you see the Chiefs tweet it out? It's Watson Island.
Okay. See, that's why when you say it like that, that's why I'm not.
That's why I'm
hesitant of putting him inside the circle of trust. That's exactly why. Watson Island, that's why I'm hesitant. But I think it is important to note that the Chiefs, they showed a lot of love. They really did. They showed a lot of love to him. Out of their guys, there were 4 guys that played every single snap. Outside of those 4, outside of Bolton, Cook, McDuffie, and Reed, next up was Jalen Watson. If you only come off the field for 3 snaps and you play defense the way that he did, hey, I'm inclined to put you inside the circle of trust. Now, I don't think that Baltimore had a great passing day. There wasn't a whole lot of great passing day in the NFL, period. But that play that he made stride for stride with Zay Flowers in a critical point of the game, caught my attention. I thought it was one of the most important defensive plays last week for the Kansas City Chiefs. So I think I'm just my own circle of trust. I think it. I have to reconsider maybe my stance on this cornerback room, and I maybe got to show a little bit more trust in Jalen Watson than I think I showed a couple of weeks ago. So I'm not saying I was wrong about Jalen Watson. I'm saying that I could possibly be wrong, and for now, I have to put him inside the circle of trust based on how he played and based on the usage that the Chiefs just gave him. The Chiefs obviously really trust Jalen Watson, so I got to show him a little bit of trust, too.
I was about to ask, is your hesitancy to put him in the circle of trust based on your feeling toward him and the fact that he himself might not be a great corner, he might just be a guy who's had a couple good games, or is your hesitancy because you don't believe the Chiefs think that? Because every snap count would tell you the Chiefs believe he's corner two. He's inside the Chiefs circle of trust.
Right.
But the Chiefs fan circle of trust is a different entity. Remember when the Chiefs trusted Daniel Sorensen, but no fan on earth trusted Daniel Sorensen? I think there's two different circles. There's Andy Reid's circle and Steve Spagnuolo's circle, and then there's how the fan base feels. Do you think he is talented enough to stay inside the circle?
We will obviously see, but to your second point, I'm with you. The Chiefs have answered our question. If you were wondering who their second corner is going to be, that's not a question anymore. Jalen Watson played 45 more snaps than Joshua Williams. So Trent McDuffie played the most, Watson played the second most, and then Joshua Williams played the third. They told you how they think the hierarchy of that cornerback room goes. And Watson was really good. Really good. He only allowed 35 yards on 6 targets, and we talked about the play on Zay Flowers. That's just a great cornerback play. Stride for stride with one of the better young receivers in the league. You make a big pass breakup. Wasn't a penalty on the play. You just ran with them stride for stride. I got to put Jalen Watson inside my circle of trust right now. So if you want to know the two players that my opinion changed the most on, I think from a positive standpoint, because it changed for the negative on Nick Bolton. We don't have to rehash that conversation. It is Jalen Watson and Samaje Perine. I thought they both played well given their role on this team, and I'm very interested and intrigued to see how their role on this offense grows, I guess on the team, grows over the course of the next couple of weeks.
I'm not trying to rehash the Bolton conversation because we all know where we all stand on that. But I'm surprised Leo Chenault didn't enter the circle of trust. Was he the best player on the defense on Thursday? It was him or Chris Jones? Leo Chenault was incredible. And this on the heels of last year in the Super Bowl against Christian McCaffrey and Bush Lightboy, he was also very, very good. He was good last postseason against Lamar Jackson and the Ravens as well. I'm surprised to hear Leo Chenault has not entered your circle of trust. Is it, hey, I got to see some more, and their linebackers are good, so you got to do more as a higher threshold. But how come Leo is sitting outside the circle, but Perine, 1 game, 8 snaps, welcome aboard?
Well, Leo is inside my circle of trust. I guess maybe the other big opinion that I have is I think right now Leo Chenault is their best linebacker. So maybe that's like a higher level of circle of trust here. I didn't really have any questions about Chenault coming into it. I had questions about Jalen Watson. I was unsure of how they were going to use Samaje Perine. I got both of those questions answered. Today, I think that Leo Chenault is the best linebacker that they have on their team. I'm not even sure if Nick Bolton's the second best linebacker that they currently have on their team. I think he might be third behind Tranquil and Leo Chenault today, if you want my Chiefs hot take for the week. So we'll see if we're taking Nick Bolton outside the circle of trust. I'm going to give him a little bit of time based on what he did a couple of seasons ago. But we might be revisiting this conversation in 4 or 5 weeks, and I might be taking Nick Bolton out of the circle of trust because that boy was out. He was getting cooked, absolutely cooked by Isaiah Likely on Thursday.
I mean, he looked lost. Like, again, we don't have to rehash the conversation. I didn't know that Chenault was in the super status of circle of trust.
I was very impressed.
I thought that status was saved for the Mahomes and Kelsey and Jones types. I don't know the hierarchy of your circles. Like that's just me. I just was curious. A guy who had played great, if he had or hadn't entered, I didn't know he'd entered the super platinum part of the circle of trust.
Yeah, that's a different part of the club. Like you can be in the club and not have a table. He's now at a table, you know? You've been outside before, and then you see the other people, and they got the sparklers and the bottles, and the girls come over with the signs. Leo Chanel, he was always in the club. Hey, you can sit down. Hey, we'll get you a bottle. It's comped. It's on the house. That's not something you need to worry about. Have you heard what the Bengals are doing this weekend? Maybe you guys haven't seen this. 913-586-7965. So the Bengals, they are holding a watch party at the stadium. Mind you, the game is not in Cincinnati. The game is in Kansas City. But they are having a watch party at the stadium. Now, okay, it's fine. It's $100 to go to the watch party inside the stadium. And they're going to give you a $25 concession card, which is good for like one beer and maybe a hot dog. Who is in the market for this? Now, maybe I'm crazy, but Chiefs fans, you guys are telling me that for a Chiefs road game, you would spend $100 to go watch the Chiefs play on television at Arrowhead? No. I don't even, for a regular season game, I could get it if it was the AFC championship game and you want to do something big and the money's going to charity. What is going on? The Bengals act like a poverty franchise. That's how they act. They're like this is a poverty franchise kind of move. How many people we think are attending this watch party? This is different to me than going down to P&L. I don't think they're charged. I've never been to one of those watch parties. I assume they're not charging you to go inside KC Live to watch the game on television. I also understand that some of you go places to watch the game. You go to a bar. That's perfectly fine. $100 to watch it on the Jumbotron? And $25 for concessions? Who is this for?
I mean, it's definitely goofy. But you know what? If it works, I'm betting every NFL owner follows suit. You're telling me if the owner of the Bengals, who's notoriously cheap, has found a new revenue stream, 31 other owners aren't going to say, hold up, let's do that too? You're telling me you don't see a scenario where one of the Chiefs who used to host draft watch parties in their facility would host a game watch party in their facility? It seems like I want this to fail for the jokes of the Bengals' expense. Drew, be on the lookout if this fails. I'm going to get after you a little bit. But also, if this works, you're telling me Clark Hunt doesn't want more money? You're telling me Jerry Jones with that mega screen ain't going to open up and make more money? This could be coming to a city near you.
It would make more sense to me at the Cowboys Stadium because it's indoors, and I've been to Cowboys Stadium. The watching there is just the Jumbotron. There's so many TVs everywhere. It would kind of make sense to me if you did this in Dallas. Can you imagine? We've been to Arrowhead before. Can you imagine watching the entire football game on that television? You're sitting at the 15-yard line. You're in row 35, and you gotta watch the whole game on the Jumbotron? You can't just watch it at home? This, to me, you can only do this in like a small NFL city. You can only do this in Cincinnati. You're only doing this in Jacksonville. You're only doing this in New York City. Giants fans are not driving to MetLife to spend $100 to watch the game on the television at the stadium. No chance. No way that's happening. You think in Miami they're doing this? They barely go. They're not spending $100 to watch the team in person. They're spending $100 to watch the game on the Jumbotron? No. NFL fans, you guys are a different beast. I wouldn't be up at 11 p.m. for a 7 kickoff the next day to be ready to tailgate for my team. That's love and devotion that I don't have towards any team. If you're willing to pay to watch the game on television at the stadium when the team's not playing, that's a level of devotion I don't have for my team.
Let me ask you a question. Let's say Clark Hunt was listening to the show, friend of the show, Clark Hunt, and he thought, well, this is a good idea, but the Jumbotron part is goofy. What if he opened that club area that has like the two bars and the little lounge area, and he said, I will sell tickets and you can sit in Arrowhead inside the fancy lounge and watch the game.
How much?
50.
That's not bad.
You got to buy concessions and drinks on top of that.
Well, this one, they give you a little bit.
You're getting a voucher back.
If you're telling me it's 50 to watch it inside the club area, that's the only part that's going to be open and they're giving you 20 to drink. Yeah, that's not bad. That's like paying to go to a bar. I don't think that's that bad. Again, I understand they do watch parties and stuff. That makes sense to me. But I got to sit in the stands to watch the game on TV. I can't watch any of the other games. That sounds miserable to me. I don't have any interest in doing that. All right, keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. Coming up on the other side, we'll get you ready for Game 3 of Royals and Yankees. And we'll also talk about Joe Burrow, who, it's something's off with him. We'll keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, a couple of things before we hand things off to Josh Vernier. Let's start with football. Rob and I looked this up because we were very curious to find the number and the stat, so we did so. The NFL expanded the postseason in 2020. Now there are 14 teams that make the postseason. Over the course of that time frame, there have been 33 teams that have started the year 0-2. Only two of those 33 teams have made the postseason. Now, one of those teams is Cincinnati. The other team is last year's Houston Texans team. They turned things around. They won their division. Obviously, not a good percentage. The percentage difference in you starting 1-1 as opposed to 0-2 is drastic. I would never want to be in a situation where the math tells me that I have to win on the road in Kansas City in a game in which they get extra rest. And my team is banged up. My quarterback's not 100% healthy. My number two wide receiver hasn't really been healthy for the last year and a half. And my number one wide receiver just started playing football a week ago. So there are a lot of things against the Cincinnati Bengals. No one is going to feel sorry for them. And some of the problems they have created for themselves, they have not done a good job protecting their quarterback. You could have paid your number one wide receiver. You could have taken care of some of these T. Higgins issues a while ago, and you chose not to. So some of the problems that Cincinnati has are self-inflicted. But I hate to throw out the term must-win game in week two of the NFL season. And if there is any team that has shown that they can climb themselves out of the deficit that they have, Rob, it is the Cincinnati Bengals. But the math here is pretty simple. Don't start 0-2. Now, I'm not going to completely throw dirt on Cincinnati if they lose on Sunday. They play Washington and Carolina in back-to-back weeks. So if you can get out of this month 2-2 with the loss to Kansas City and New England, you're fine. You can still regroup. You're back at 500, and everything is still right there in front of you. But you had a gimme there. If you're like me and you pick Cincinnati to win the division, one of the games you had them winning for sure was the game at home against New England. Now you probably got to go on the road and you probably got to steal a game at some point down the road to make up for the one that you just simply gave away. It's not even like New England played incredibly well. New England beat them 16-10, and Cincinnati had numerous opportunities to win that game. It was sloppy, bad Bengals football. It's the same football that caused them to miss the postseason last year, and it's the same football that has become very customary for this team to start the season. Under Zach Taylor, their head coach, they are 1-8 in the first 2 weeks of the season. It's hard to win the division like that. It's hard to compete for championships when you're constantly starting at a deficit the way they are every single year.
There must be something he's doing wrong. Whether it's what Mitch Holtis said to us on Monday, that you got to value June, July, August. Maybe they don't do that to the level they should. Maybe it just, he runs a scheme that is based on, you know, adjusting to you and not the inverse. I don't know, but something's wrong. Like, it's not working. That stat is not a one-off, bad luck. The schedule gods didn't smile on you. If you are losing that often in week one and week two, there is something fundamentally wrong with how you're handling training camp, the preseason, the offseason, something. Because that is not just a one-off. That is an absolute trend.
Yeah, and just you lost a lot of different ways, man. Sometimes football is really simple. I mean, New England. I mean, Jacoby Brissett was not great. He was 15 of 24 for 121 yards. They ran the ball 39 times for 170 yards. Ramondre Stevenson had 25 carries, 100 120 yards and one touchdown. And they also sacked Joe Burrow three times. I mean, Cincinnati, just they were not good offensively. Burrow threw for less than 200 yards. They ran the ball 16 times for 70 yards. And outside of Jamar Chase, no one on their offense really did anything. Jamar Chase wasn't great. He had six catches for 62 yards. That was just a very blah effort against a team that almost all of us think is bad. None of us think that Kansas City is bad. So if you want to get this thing to 1-1, you got to play with a lot more energy and effort than you did in week one against New England. This 10 points that you had against New England, that ain't nearly enough, you think, to come into Kansas City and leave with the win.
I mean, they have a lot of things to sharpen up, and they have 7 days to do it. Meanwhile, the Chiefs have had 10 to tighten up the things the Chiefs didn't do perfect. That's a bad combo for the Bengals in week two.
So we got to hand things off to Josh Vernier. We'll be back again tomorrow. We don't have too many of these shows that are preempted by the Kansas City Royals. We're happy that you guys made us part of your day. Go Royals today. If you win today, you win a series on the road against the New York Yankees. They got Cole Reagans going today, and that is a good of shot of any. Let's see if great pitching is contagious. They can keep the momentum from what they had yesterday with Seth Lugo. We're out of time for today. Back again tomorrow. Thanks for those of you that watch this on Twitch or Twitter or wherever we are. I don't even, we're so many different places. I don't even know where we are at this point. I appreciate you guys. Back again tomorrow. It's The Drive.
In life, some days are good. And some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.